good time of year for baseball. Tim Flannery, and you know, and I realize Greg Elliott is close by, the groundskeeper here, and this field is not in bad shape. I want to tell you that. I walk on it just about every day.
You know, they do such a great job here, Marty. They groom it for our team.
Yeah.
And a couple years ago when we won the World Series, you remember we didn't run very well. So they would grow the grass longer in the outfield to slow the balls up, so it gives us a little bit better chance to get guys home. They're so good, and they were so important to that team in 2010 when the shares meeting came out and the World Series shares were passed around. The team gave the grounds crew two full shares to divide. That's how important they are to this ball club.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about it the other day in the Colorado series, and when the pitcher hit a ball in the gap, it kind of slowed it down, and then the next guy hit it in the gap, and it kind of got through. But even then, I said, you know, maybe that grass is a little long out in the outfield.
All fields where you go to, the groundskeeper will usually set it up for your team, you know. Every time you go to St. Louis, you see right out in front of home plate, it's soaking wet sandbox because Dave Duncan teaches the two-seamer, the sinker, so that kills the ball when it's hit to the ground so the infielders can pick it up. You go to Cincinnati, the pitcher's mound is not very tall. It's a flat mound, which makes pitchers who aren't used to it elevate the baseball, and then you've got the Cincinnati Reds that all they do is hit fly balls in a very small ballpark. So all of that comes into play, too. I'm sure people are out there saying, well, can it all be the same? Well, it starts off the same, but then you try to win.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Cincinnati. I forgot about that because a couple of the Giants pitchers, and I think Kane in particular, had trouble. Remember coming from the bullpen mound to the mound? And look, the Giants may see Cincinnati.
There's a good chance of it, you know. I'll tell you that what they do in almost every place is your bullpen mound that you warm up on is not the same as the one you come to the mound in the first inning. That's why the first inning sometimes the pitchers can be vulnerable. You can get to them. In Cincinnati, you have to be really in your mind that you, and I'm not a pitcher and I don't know all the mechanics, so I don't know how to get the ball down, but Dave Righetti does and Mark Gardner knows how to teach it. But if you don't, that's when the ball will be elevated because the mound is more of a flatter mound. And the Reds, those guys hit home runs, and it's such a small ballpark, fly balls go out of there.
Boy, great point. Great point. Boy, you got me on inside baseball now, and I forgot about that. No, it's something to remember, especially if the Giants face the Reds at the Great American Ballpark. What I like about this ball club, and, you know, we follow the stats, and sometimes stats do tell a little bit of a story. You're pretty close to the league lead. You're not that far off in doubles. You do lead the league in triples. You lead the league with sacrifice flies. Your stolen bases, third and fourth in the league. And you're fourth in on-base percentage. And I'll tell you another thing. You're not that far off in runs scored, but you don't hit many home runs. That tells me something.
It also tells you about our ballpark, because when we do go on the road, we're offensively right up there with some of the leaders. But let's take our ballpark, and you take Angel Pagan's 14 triples. I'd like to go back and know how many times he's tripled and scored. Probably almost all the time, because you don't want to make the third out there, so he'll come early, you know, in an inning. If a guy triples and then scores, I mean, that's like a home run in a sense, you know. So our ballpark plays this way. You go to other ballparks, and that's why I like to stand out at third base even during batting practice, just to kind of imagine who's playing the outfield that night and how is the ball getting to them and what's the wind currents, how will that affect it? Because at this ballpark, the wind really affects our outfielders, not our outfielders, but the other team's outfielders. Well, they'll actually be playing off of us a couple feet, and late in the game, they've been out there about 2 hours. You'll see them blowing on their fingers, and you know it's a little cold. I love all of that. The wind is our friend here, Marty.
Boy, it sure is. And you have that ritual. You walk the field every single day here.
I do that for lots of reasons. I do that, first of all, just to put myself in perspective of what I'm doing again for a living, and to thank God, and then thank all my coaches in prayer, and all my teachers, the great third base coaches. When I step out on the field, I like to bring everybody with me that has helped me get there. I feel, again, if you honor the game will honor you, and that's something that we teach and we believe in. when you see this ball club, how everybody had their moment. Ryan Theriault, if you went back and pulled out some of your tapes, we talked about Ryan Theriault setting the tone, running the bases early in the season. And then there was Greg Blanco that had a 2 or 3 week moment that pushed us on. And then Joaquin Arias not too long ago had his time. Marco Scudero, you go to Belts, had his time. Buster's been most of the time all season long. And then you talk about Angel. You talk about when we pick up Hunter. This team is such a team that everybody has been the leader for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. Then you look at our lineup. Our lineup is okay. And I was looking at it yesterday during the game. You got Angel Pagan with that crazy energy leading off, and then you have Marco Scudero who settles. Then you've got Pablo, crazy energy. Then you got Pence, the old school settle. Posey, you got the old school settle like that, how he is. And it goes right down the line, almost like a yin and yang thing of this lineup. I look at stuff like that because you wonder, when you understand that the numbers don't always make sense, when people say, your numbers of your team, how can your third baseman have 53 RBIs and your first baseman have 5 home runs, and you guys are going to win the division because they play as a team?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right, as you always have a good perspective on this thing. Who was your guy? And now you've talked about Joe Amalfitano, that he still calls you after a game, but was there a third base coach who had a big influence on you?
Well, Jimmy Davenport, I've said this before, he was the one that taught me how to do it. Joey Amalfitano. Jimmy Williams was the one, when I started coaching third in 1993, he was probably, I felt, the best in the league and would teach me a lot. He was with the Atlanta Braves at the time. And then John Vukovich, who just passed away a couple years ago. I still wear his patch underneath my helmet, you know, because he coached third, and you know, you have to have tough skin, and Vuk was that, and he did you do the right thing, and that's what they taught me. It might not be the right thing in other people's minds, but you usually are briefed on who's hurt, who can't run tonight, who can throw tonight, and so all of that comes into play, and who's coming up, are they going to pitch to him, is the next guy hot, are they, you know, all of that comes into play. They taught me to be prepared.
Yeah, no, and you are. We've had so much fun. I want to thank you again as we come to the end here of the regular season for being on all the time. It's been terrific. I think the fans have loved it, and I've learned a lot of baseball from you.
Well, anybody, Marty, that shows up and does what you do consistently and can do it 162 games in 180 days, you're the one that deserves the Gold Star.
All right. Well, let me go further with you, because this is a time of year. The ball club's close to clinching. It's just inevitable when it's going to happen. But, you know, you start in February, and there you are. I could see you at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, hitting ground balls, 8:30 with the bunting practice, with one goal in mind, and that is to just get to the playoffs, to clinch. You got to do that first before you can do anything else. And these celebrations, you've been through them, they're legitimate because that pressure is on from day one.
And so many things happen along the way. I've learned that in my 32 years of professional baseball, that when spring training starts and I leave home, I know that in the next 8-9 months, life is going to change somewhere, somehow. I mean, babies are born, people die during this time. Life changes on so many levels, but the steady thing is this game that every day you continually march on and creep on, and this ball club has done that. With all that's, we know what we aren't, we know what we've lost, we know players that aren't here, but we also know who we are, and I think Bruce Bochy has allowed these guys to maybe dream, if you will, who we can be. And that's what's happened here. They've all stepped up and become, they're going to become champions again.
Yeah. You know, I think back to 2010, and as the, you know, they practiced the national anthem in the background. You write any songs during the season at all? How's the music during the year?
Well, I write a couple, but again, they're not baseball songs, even though they're about things that happen out on the road, you know. And But you get to this point, Marty, it's all you do is wake up and you come to the ballpark, and I try to save all my energy for this three-hour, three-and-a-half-hour game that's seems to matter a whole bunch. We talked about the, you know, the dog days of August. Well, we never experienced it because we were in the hunt, and here we are, and guys are beat up and tired. Everybody is. But when you have the great fans behind us, believing in us, which they've done, and Jim Tracy in Colorado says, it's tough to win here. They call our fans the 10th man, and they are that. So thank you for all that out there, folks. We can't do this without the support of everybody.
So where's your 49er hat?
You know, I shows up after Thanksgiving. I need a break before I go to the next sport.
Always great having you on. It's just a treat, I must tell you. I can't thank you enough.
Thanks, Marty.
All right. That's Tim Flannery, right here at KNBR 680, the sports leader.